Hello and good evening. Welcome to ABC's A Parenting Adult Children podcast. My name is James Moffitt and I will be your host this evening. You know, sitting here looking at all the different episodes that I've had thus far, it hasn't been a lot, but I think this is episode 8. Three or four of the podcast episodes have been audio only, and the rest of them have been video. And I was looking at the number of views and plays on each one, and I can't really tell one way or the other as to whether people prefer video, seeing me talk, or just being able to sit back, close your eyes, and just listen to what I'm saying. So, audience, I would like to hear feedback from you. Tell me if you want to see me doing the podcast, and or do you care? Would you rather listen to audio? Is this something you do in the car when you're going to work or going about your day? Do you listen to the podcast on Spotify and you just turn it on and let it run? Or would you rather be able to watch me talk? I typically only do video podcasts when I have guest speakers. That way I can do a Zoom session and everybody can see both speakers and I can share information on the screen and all that good stuff. Tonight's episode, which is Balancing Support and Independence, episode 8, it's going to be an audio only. And before I get into this episode, I want to say happy holidays, Merry Christmas. I hope that everybody had a peaceful and restful Thanksgiving weekend. I think Thanksgiving was like on, I don't know, Thursday. So most people had Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off. And I hope everybody was able to visit with friends and family. Hope your loved ones were around you. I hope your children were there. And I hope that everybody had a just a good time. Holiday events can sometimes be very stressful. And I also recognize and realize that the holidays are difficult times. It's a difficult season for some people, especially people that have lost a spouse or have lost a loved one, even a pet, even a fur baby. You know, some people lose their pets who are family members to them and have been around for, you know, 8 to 14 years. That's a long time, and you absolutely get attached to those family members, even though they're four-legged and furry, compared to, you know, your human family. And so there are people that are grieving, going through grief, and there are those people that are suffering from mental health issues, depression, whatever the mental health issue is. Depression's merely one of them. But anyway, I just want all of us to be cognizant of the fact that we have friends and family that may be close to us that they may not talk about it, but the holiday season is a difficult one for them. And so I would encourage all of us to reach out to all of our family members and friends and just let them know that they're special to us and that they're important and that we need them in our lives, and just offer to help them in, you know, whatever way. Just say, hey, if you need anything, if I can bring food over to your house, or if you would like to come over to our holiday festivities, our parties, or what have you, then invite them. And maybe people just want to talk. Maybe they just need somebody to listen. And so you can always invite them over for a cup of coffee or a meal or just whatever, you know. They may want to meet in public, or they may want you to come to their house or go to church or what have you. I would just encourage all of us to be sensitive to those people and be there for them during this holiday season. So balancing support and independence is one of the topics that I thought was important and something that it would be good for us to kind of unpack, look at it. So we're going to discuss the delicate balance of providing support while allowing adult children to develop their independence, both emotionally and financially. And in this episode, I'm going to refer to adult children as young adults, because that's what they are. They're young adults. They're 18 and older, right? They're 21 years old or older, and they may or may not be out of the house. They may be living on their own and functioning as adults should. And one size doesn't fit all. I recognize that, and I know that we all have our own unique situations and relationships. So we're going to discuss the delicate balance of providing support while allowing adult children, young adults, to develop their independence, both emotionally and financially. So as we dig into this, Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines a support system as a network of people who provide an individual with practical or emotional support. Support system is defined as a network of people who provide an individual with practical or emotional support. Having a support system means that you have people to rely on when you need them the most. It means that there are people you can lean on whenever you are in a tough situation. That goes for parents as well as young adults. I don't care who you are or what you've gone through in life. We all need a support system around us. No man or woman is an island. Now, I took the following information on how to build a support system from a thing called Highland Springs Clinic. And that's, the URL is http://highlandspringsclinic.org. It's all one word. Highlandspringsclinic.org. How to build a support system. Support systems are critical for anyone to have. Many people think that it is easier to do things alone and that their own health is something only they should be worrying about. This is not the case at all. While it is important to do some things on your own, having a support system that is there for you when things get tough is critical to maintaining your mental and physical health. To really make strides in improving yourself or building new skills, you must ensure you have the right people surrounding you. You want the right people to be there to help and cheer for you going through life. That includes moms, dads, sisters, brothers, siblings, aunts, uncles, grandparents, coaches, teachers. It's a whole gambit of people. It doesn't have to be just your mom and dad. And also, I would say that it's important that you do not have toxic relationships in your support system. You want to have people that are stable emotionally, mentally, and spiritually stable that can provide you the kind of support that you need. This support system building is important for both young adults and their parents. As parents, we visit support groups online via social media portals like our Facebook group and in-person support groups. We do that so we can share our challenges in a safe and neutral environment where no one will judge us. You will find like-minded parents who can share their stories with you. Sharing our stories helps us to know we're not alone in our particular struggle. In reference to our Facebook support group, we have 1,026 members. There are several people over the last, I don't know, few months, years, who have chosen to share their stories and or ask questions as anonymous users. And I think it's important that we give people the space and the opportunity to be anonymous so that they can get the support they need. We as parents should encourage our young adults to surround themselves with a support system both inside and outside the family. Different perspectives from different age groups or generations can provide clarity and balance on both sides. So, when you, as the parent, are talking to your young adults and you're encouraging them to build a support system around them, consider, these are some ideas that I also got from that website that I told you about. It says, consider joining a sports team or workout group to boost your mood, improve your physical health, and give you the opportunity to interact with others. Working out is great. Because you're burning energy, you're burning calories, you are releasing endorphins into your bloodstream, and those endorphins are mood elevators, and they can help you with feeling sad or depressed or downtrodden or whatever, however you're feeling. If you've ever worked out, if you've ever gone to the gym, the hardest part of getting there is putting on your workout clothes, getting in the car, or walking to the gym if it's close enough to you, and actually getting started. Once you're there, it's easy. And when you're done, most of the time you feel pretty good, or at least I have. Review your current social circles and family relationships. Then single out the people who offer the most positive but truthful advice. That goes back to not having toxic relationships in your inner circle. And I talk about the inner circle. What I'm talking about is people that you feel comfortable sharing your heart with. And it's very important that you as well as your young adult are comfortable sharing your heart. And when I say sharing your heart, I mean telling them what's really going on. Getting to the meat of the matter. I'm not talking about social chit-chat, superficial conversation. I'm talking about sitting down with close friends and confidants and being able to say, hey, this is what happened today, and I think this is why it happened, and this is how it made me feel. It's a good idea to be wise and to be careful who you share that information with. Review your current social circles and family relationships, then single out the people who offer the most positive but truthful advice. Sometimes your grandparents are an excellent source of support because they've been around a while. They've been around a long time. And living life a long time usually comes with a lot of life stories and a lot of experience and a lot of wisdom. So that's an excellent source of support. Be open to the idea of asking for help when you need it and accepting that help as graciously as possible. If you're like me, you really don't like asking for help. Like I said earlier, no man or woman is an island. But the baby boomer generation, I'll speak to that because that's who I'm part of. The baby boomer generation, our parents taught us that we were supposed to suck it up, you know, suck it up, buttercup, and or you're supposed to be able to, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and do whatever is necessary to be successful. And that didn't include necessarily asking for help. Sometimes asking for help was viewed as being weak, a weakness. So anyway, it's okay to ask for help. And for those that are helping you, those people that are listening to your stories and your life experience or giving you feedback on some of your choices, it's important that you as a person that needs help to be humble and gracious about what's being said to you. In other words, try not to be defensive. Try to say, hey, this is what's going on. This is what I did. This is why I made this decision. And then listen to what people are telling you. And I guess I'm kind of talking to young adults here. I don't know if I have any young adults listening to this. But if you are, then that's my advice to you. And I will say that that's advice that I've had to learn how to live too. Let's see, what's the next one? Try new activities alone or in groups to introduce you to fresh faces who may provide a positive influence. Not only a positive influence, but a fresh perspective. Let's talk about independence. Being independent gives you the ability to care for yourself, either emotionally, physically, or financially. As a result, you're in a better situation to assist others. In turn, this increases happiness, promotes a sense of belonging, gives you a sense of purpose, and increases your life satisfaction. Independence. Being independent gives you the ability to care for yourself, either emotionally, physically, or financially. As a result, you're in a better situation to assist others. In turn, this increases happiness, promotes a sense of belonging, gives you a sense of purpose, and increases your life satisfaction. That's, if you're a parent and you're dealing with a young adult that's struggling with their independence, this is some goal setting for them. This is a reward. Increasing happiness, promoting a sense of belonging, and giving them a sense of purpose, and increases their life satisfaction. That's what you want for your young adult, right? As our young adults strike out on their own, they will need to learn how to depend on themselves emotionally, physically, and financially. They should want to do this for themselves. However, this may be new territory for them. I'll stop there and say that I remember when I was 18 years old, 19 years old, I personally could not wait to become an adult. When I was 15, 16, and 17, I remember thinking about how awesome, how exciting it would be to be an adult and make my own decision and make my own decisions and do what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a man. And I was tired of being under my parents' rule and following their rules. And I was rebellious. And I thought they were crazy and out of touch. All of the above. And I didn't have a great childhood. And there were moments of abuse. And I was looking to get free from that as well. And, you know, it took me about 5 or 6 years of being out on my own. And learning through the school of hard knocks that being at home, I had it made. I didn't have bills. I didn't have the stress of finances. I can only hope that parents that are listening to this podcast episode, I hope that you are supportive of your young adults. And that you are helping them to gain their independence in those areas and providing positive support, being a positive role model. That's something I really didn't. Well, in some ways, I had a positive role model as a parent, my parents. I'm not going to get into all that. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. So it's important as parents that we provide our young adults how to do this while they're still at home. I'm thinking that ages between 15 and 21, we should be providing them with a structured learning environment that teaches them the skills they will need to develop as they become adults. Our young adults need to learn how to manage their emotions, their physical well-being, and how to manage their finances. Sit down with your young adults, your teenagers, and explain to them why you have to pay bills. Explain to them that the roof over their head, the food that you put in their stomachs, the clothes that you put on their backs, the internet, electricity, cable TV, and everything else that they enjoy being part of your family or their family comes with a cost. And you go to work every day and you punch a clock, or you may be an entrepreneur and you may set your own hours. But the bottom line is our young adults need to learn that the importance of being a productive member of society, a lawful, productive member of society, and that doing that means that you pay your own way, and that you pay your bills, and that you budget your money, and you save for a rainy day. My parents didn't teach me much about that. They were good at it, and they kind of told me the importance of it, but they didn't teach me how to do it. They didn't sit me down at the table and show me a spreadsheet, or they didn't show me a budget, or they didn't tell me how to balance a checkbook, any of that stuff. So as parents, we need to teach our young adults how to do those things. It's an important skills that they need to have. So our young adults need to learn how to manage their emotions, their physical well-being, and how to manage their finances. Let's talk about emotions. We all know as parents that our teenagers have hormones running through their bloodstream, and our teenagers are developing who they are, and as young adults, and they have emotions. Some children or young adults are more emotional than others. As I said earlier in this episode, one size doesn't fit all. Every individual in our family is unique unto themselves, and they have their own personalities, their own characteristics, their positive side, their negative side, and they're unique, and we have to recognize that. So emotions, this comes with maturity and time, managing the emotions, that is. As our young adults grow and mature, they will get better at managing their emotions. Each young adult is different, so there are no one-size-fits-all formulas. As we face different challenges with differing difficulty levels, it will cause us to experience emotions. That comes for parents as well as young adults. And as parents, we're role models, and we need to be able to show our young adults, our teenagers, how to manage emotions, how to not lose our cool and scream, yell, throw things, demonstrate no control with our emotions, right? It's important how we deal with our young adults when they're experiencing raging emotions, and as they might be crying, screaming, or yelling, right? We have to, as parents, we've got to give them space, right? We can't shut them down. We can't squash their emotions. We can't, it's not like it's Pandora's box where you can just cram all the emotions into a box and seal it. And, goes back to that suck it up, buttercup mentality that my dad had with me. And men don't cry, right? Wrong. Sometimes men should cry and need to. But when it comes to managing emotions, there's got to be a balance, and there's got to be boundaries. So I'll go back and say, as we face different challenges with differing difficulty levels, it will cause us to experience emotions. Some of them may be short term, and some may be long term. Recognizing an imbalance is important and may require professional therapists to learn how to navigate the emotions. Going back to the baby boomer generation, it was not considered kosher to be vulnerable. People just didn't talk about, like, families, like my family. My mom and dad told us that You know, what happens in this household stays in this household, and you don't share anything with the outside world. It's none of their business. And I think there's some importance to that. There are some of those thoughts are valid in that family secrets need to remain family secrets, and it's not anybody's business what's going on. But when it comes to parenting and dealing with young adults and their emotions, sometimes you may need to provide your young adult, and this goes to parents, towards parents as well. You may need to go see a marriage counselor. You may need to go see a personal therapist. You may have to go see a psychologist or a psychiatrist, depending on the depth and severity of the issue, right? And I'm not a marriage counselor, and I'm not a mental health professional, even though I have worked in the mental health industry at a young age, and I did learn some stuff. But like I said, when you're listening to this podcast or in listening to these episodes, I'm trying to do my research. I'm trying to be real and authentic with what I'm telling you. And if something you're listening to in an episode makes you feel like maybe you should take advantage of professional counseling or therapy, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong whatsoever. So do that. If that's what you as a parent, if you have a young adult that needs that kind of assistance developing their emotions or handling their emotions or whatever it is that they're going through, dealing with grief, losing a loved one, relationships, loss of a job, you know, whatever it is. If your parents, if you're over your heads, seek the support and the help that your young adult needs and encourage them to pursue it. Does that make sense? I hope. Recognizing an imbalance is important and may require professional therapists to learn how to navigate the emotions or whatever issue it is that they're going through. Physical well-being. Talking to our young adults about the dangers of illicit drugs or physical security as they are out and about in the community and with their peer groups is important. Practicing safe sex is important for physical well-being. Social media, Facebook, MySpace, that's where I started out. Well, I started out on AOL, right? AOL, Prodigy, MySpace, Facebook, Snapchat, TikTok, Instagram. I'm sure I'm missing some, right? I'm 62 years old, and the only reason I know as much as I do about social media is because I'm an IT professional, and I've been on Facebook since 2007, and I could care less for TikTok. I have an Instagram account that I peruse from time to time, and I've had to set up Instagram accounts for both of my podcasts. That was a learning experience. So anyway, parents, it's very important that not only do you know that your young adults are involved in social media, but you need to be aware of what they're involved in, what they're involved with, who are they talking to, who are their friends. You may or may not know, parents, but there are sexual predators out there that will lure your young adult into dangerous situations. They will pretend to be somebody that they are not. They'll pretend to be your child's friend and encourage them to talk to them about things that maybe they don't feel comfortable talking to you about. So you pay for the internet bill, you probably pay for the iPhone or the tablet, the iPad, the Galaxy tablet, their telephone, pay for the internet access. So as a parent, you have a right to know. And you have the ability to limit how much time they spend on the internet while they're at home. And it all goes back to having a healthy relationship with your young adult. And there's ways that you can handle it that provides them independence and provides them with respect and setting boundaries, right? All goes back to that as well. Some of this stuff gets pretty in-depth and very complicated, and I certainly don't assume to know everything. However, I had four children of my own, and I've had to wade some of these deep waters myself, me and my wife both. So physical well-being, talking to our young adults about the dangers of illicit drugs, and they're out there. Or physical security as they're out and about in the community and with their peer groups is important. Your young adults need to learn, and you need to teach them, parents, that they need to pay attention to their surroundings. When they're out and about, going to the mall or grocery shopping or out with their friends, they need to have their head on a swivel and be paying attention to their surroundings and what's going on around them, because there are predators out there that are looking to take advantage of them. And I hope you know that. All you have to do is turn on the nightly news and watch all the news stories about this, that, and other. It's a crazy world out there, and it's our job as parents to protect our young adults and to prepare them for how to navigate through all of that. And did I say practicing safe sex is important for physical well-being? Back in the 60s, that was not talked about. Sure, our parents talked to us about the birds and the bees, right? But it's important that our young adults understand that practicing safe sex will help them to stay healthy and help them to stay away from sexually transmitted diseases. And I know we don't like talking about that stuff. It's embarrassing. It's your kids don't want to listen to you. You know, by the time you start talking to them about this stuff, they probably already learned 99% of the things that you're going to talk about, and probably even more. Don't be naive as a parent and think your kids don't understand what sex is or what's going on with all that, because they do. They know more than we do sometimes. And that goes with technology too. Our young adults are sometimes smarter than their parents when it comes to technology. All right, so much for that. Now let's get on to financial well-being. Teaching our young adult to budget their money and save for a rainy day or emergencies is important. Learning how to handle credit early on is critical to their financial health. We should teach the importance of separating our needs versus our wants. As parents, we sometimes want to shelter our young adults from the consequences of adulting. Those kind of parents is called helicopter parents, constantly hovering over our young adults, our teenagers, and trying to protect them from the evil of the world and help them to make the correct decision, the right decision at the right time. And that's just almost an impossible task. I hope you're not a helicopter parent. If you are, for the sake of your young adult, stop. That goes back to the independence thing. Your young adults need to learn how to be independent and make their own decisions. As parents, we sometimes want to shelter our young adults from the consequences of adulting. When they make bad decisions in those areas of life, we have to realize there are consequences, and those consequences are what teaches them how to make better decisions. If we shelter our young adults from the consequences of bad decisions, we're enabling their behavior and we're setting them up for failure. I'll let that sink in for a minute. You know, as adults, as parents, we want our young adults to experience the good things of life, right? We want them to have the things that we didn't have when we were growing up. We don't want them to experience the bad things. We don't want them to experience emotional heartbreak, mental illness, failure, anger, emotions, raw emotions. We don't want our young adults to go through the bad stuff we went through. We want them to have a better life than what we had. And we want them to have that life, and we want to teach them the skills that they need so that they can do that, right? Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes there are external forces at play that we parents can't control. And the best we can do when that happens is to be there as a support person, as a part of a support team, an inner circle where your young adult can share their failures, their fears, their heartbreak, their mental anguish, all of that stuff. Growing up and becoming an adult is a full-time job, and it's takes a lot of energy and a lot of commitment. Blood, sweat, and tears, right? So, parents of adult, young adults, I keep wanting to say adult children, but they're not children, they're adults. As I've said before, and I'll say it again, and I'll continue to say it, no matter what your situation, no matter what you're going through, you're not alone. I told you we have 1,026 parents in our group, in our support group. I'm assuming most of those people are parents. There may be some single people, but we have women, men and women in our group. And I think the women are a little more proactive with regards to sharing what's going on with their adult children or their young adults. I think the men, for the most part, are just there listening and reading and soaking it all in. Haven't really seen a lot of posts from men, but that's okay. Hopefully the guys are getting what they need to get out of the group. And my wife and I started this group, I don't know, 5 or 10 years ago. I don't even know how long the group's been in existence, but we were having problems with one of our daughters. And I'm not going to say her name, but we love her to death. And she's, I think, 28 now. And she has struggled, like most young adults, learning how to get along in this world. And she's kind of like Jenny in the movie Forrest Gump. If you are familiar with Forrest Gump and the character Jenny, our daughter is very similar to her and has some of those similar characteristics. But I'm happy to report that she's coming along and she's making strides towards making better decisions and taking care of herself. And her mother and I, we support her to a certain degree. We provide monetary support and other things as we're able to. And so this parent support group was born because of that, because of our experience with her. And anyway, I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're listening to the episodes. I want to engage with you on a personal level. I want you to respond to the questions that are on each podcast episode. I try to set up some polls with some options. I'll ask a question and I'll give you some options. And I'm doing that in an effort to engage with you in a per, on a personal level. And I want you, parents, I want you to tell me what you want to hear. What do you want me to talk about? What do you want me to research? Is there somebody that you listen to that is that does the same thing I'm doing, but maybe does it on a better level or a deeper level? Who would you like to listen to as a guest speaker on a podcast? I can't promise you that they'll come on to the podcast and be a guest speaker, but I can absolutely reach out to them and say, "Hey, you know, my listeners would like to have you to do an episode with our host and talk about whatever, ABC, whatever it is." So talk to me, let me know in the questions and the polls in our episode, and feel free to write me an email at jamescmoffett@outlook.com. Anyway, thank you for listening to today's episode. You can listen to this podcast on Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Apple, and Public Radio. You can contact me at James C. Moffitt, that's James C. MOFFITT, at Outlook.com. There's no such thing as a stupid question, and I would love to hear from you, the listeners of our this podcast. Reach out to me. Tell me how the podcast is helping you or hurting you, or suggestions, comments, anything you want to say to me. I'd love to hear it. So, having said all of that, I'm going to wish you a happy holidays, and I hope that you will have a time of peace and rest, and I hope that you have your family around you, and that y'all have a good time. And I pray that some of these issues that you guys are dealing with, I pray that you'll get beyond those things, and that things will subside and get better. That's what we all want, right? Is for things to get better, and our young adults to live happy, productive lives. And we want to live happy and productive lives too, right? We all deserve to have peace and happiness in our lives. And sometimes it takes a little extra work, but it can happen. All right? So this is not going to last forever. I want to leave you with that thought. What you're going through right now, no matter how difficult or heartbreaking it might be, it'll get better. Eventually, it'll get better and things will work out for the best. All right? God bless. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.